John Brady, head coach ASU, joining us in the studio today.
Well, let me say this. The music you just led in there with, it's certainly a change of pace from what we just listened to.
Yeah, it's from this
from
generation.
From bubblegum to this, it's a shock.
From this century, I guess, would be a start. But, Coach, good to have you. We have two rules here. We don't ever have guests off the top of the show, and we don't ever carry over guests from the show before. So that should tell you what kind of elite company you're in.
And we don't sing, typically.
Well, y'all felt sorry we begged to get me on, so I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm glad to have you. I appreciate it. Anytime we can get you down here, we'd love to have you in the studio. You're always a lot of fun. So, yeah, anytime. The only time we sing is if we're still, like, half in the bag from the night before, which we try not to have happen very often.
And we get, you know, we get happy.
Yeah, you know. So, but you can't do that as a basketball coach. As a radio host, it's kind of encouraged in a way. As long as you show up at work on time, they're all good with whatever. So,
well, if you do it as a basketball coach, you can't talk about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Coach, you look good, though.
Thank you.
You don't look half in the bag at all. You look totally sober. You're all good.
You look fit and ready to go.
Well, we had an exhibition game last night. We weren't real good, but sometimes that's to be expected. I like us to be. You know, our team thinks we're pretty good, and then you play your first exhibition, and you don't play with the edge you need. You can always go back and use that as a teaching situation. So that's a good thing for us in a way. But I feel good. Try to exercise. You know, I shared with you guys. I tore my Achilles tendon this summer. Playing tennis with my wife, she thought it'd be a nice thing for us to do together. Let's go do something together. So we started playing tennis, and we get in a little league where we live and at the country club. And first match, fourth game, I push to go left, and my Achilles pops. So my message is, the next time your wife says, let's go do something together, take her to dinner, go to a movie, or even go to church. That's it.
No athletic.
No. Rest of that's over.
Yeah, how does that work out? Because
I know that if you're Catholic, you can, you know, there's a lot of movement. You could still pop an Achilles.
Well, if you compete against your wife, I'm not married. Far from it.
We were on the same
team. But you let her. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were playing together.
Did she call you names? Did she be like, "Get up, John, let's go"?
Well,
we gotta finish this.
It's funny how this worked. I'm the one that got hurt, and you know, that's a non weight bearing issue for about 7 weeks on crutches, and. She turned it around. She got all the sympathy, and I'm the one that got hurt. I don't know how, you know, women are able to kind of turn things around like that. And people were writing her notes, I'm so sorry, you know, you're having to wait on your husband or something. I'm the one that had to go under surgery under the knife and walk around on crutches and then put a boot on. And
I'm going to guess that you're probably not a great patient. No offense.
I don't have a lot of patience, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. You need patience if you're going to be a good patient,
yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't be either. I mean, I pray to God that nothing ever happens to me because my wife would tear her hair out because I would be terrible sitting around the house all day. So, well, last night, again, you talked about, I heard you on the morning show, offensively, decent showing out of the gate, yeah. But defensively, I know you want to see a little bit more.
Yeah, we just didn't play with the edge. We didn't rebound it as well as I thought we should have. You know, we relaxed a little bit defensively and let them get some cheap baskets. And you know, when you don't rebound it as well, and then defensively we don't play hard enough or determined enough for the entire possession. You know, those things bother me because, you know, all of my coaching philosophy is based on rebounding, defending, and taking care of the ball. And we did a nice job offensively, had 10 turnovers, shot 50-some-odd percent, but the rebounding and the defending – certainly wasn't where it needed to be. And, you know, give this team some credit, too. You know, they run the Princeton offense, and it's a different type of guarding. It's more getting up under the offensive player than it is trying to pressure them. And we didn't go over any scouting report. I just threw them out there and let them play. And they got some easy baskets on us that normally if we'd have prepared a little bit better, they wouldn't have been able to get. But it's good to have a little leverage over your team this time of the year. And we open up next Friday at Ole Miss, and certainly we've got to get a lot better between now and next Friday. And I think our guys will do that.
You guys see that offense once a year or a couple times a year, I guess, with Denver, right?
Exactly. And you know, it's like nothing against dentists, but it's like going to the dentist. You know, you prepare for it and got a little pain with it, but you got to stay with it in order to, you know, get out of the chair, and you got to stay with it in order to win the game. And we're not quite ready we're not quite disciplined enough defensively to guard that for a 35-second shot clock. But it was good that we were able to play it and learn something from it and be a nice teaching tool this week with it.
Four or five starters back. You guys are picked second in the West in the preseason, which doesn't mean diddly. The good news for you is, as we were talking before the show, picked second behind the North Texas team that you guys had some success with last year.
Yeah, we were able to beat them twice. You know, Johnny Jones done a great job there. I think he's won 20 games four out of the last 5 years. But we were able to beat them twice and then – should have been able to get to them in the conference tournament, but we get beat Western beats us by one twice last year. So, but I like our team. You know, I like what we've done. You know, we would go from 10 wins to 17 in the second year, and this is our third year, and we're in the conversation about winning the championship, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in your third year going backwards, that's not a good thing. Right. So at least there's some good feeling about our team and what we're doing and the direction we're headed, and I think we're going to be better than we were a year ago.
You have we were talking, too, I mean, about the whole Cam Newton thing. That's kind of the center of the sports world right now as far as everybody's kind of paying attention to it. Initially, I'm like, eh, baloney. And now I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something to it. You spent some time in Starkville, $180,000. You think that's is that the going rate these days to get somebody up there if you're a high-profile athlete?
Oh, I don't know about all that, man. you know, I don't know why anybody would make something up. You know, anytime I read about accusations like that, why would John Bond make something up?
And he's a guy you know, right?
Oh, I know him well. Mm-hmm. You know, he was playing football there when I was coaching there, and then he came back and coached there a few years when Jackie Sherrill was there, and you know, he played for Emory Ballard and ran the Wishbone. But I don't know all the details of it, but certainly something swirling around. You know, whether it's to that degree, who knows? But I mean, for John Bond to release something through an attorney, you just don't make up things like that. He's got nothing to gain by it, and I don't know the circumstance that made him feel like he had to do something
like
that.
I think that'd be interesting to find out. Why did he feel like he had to come out and say that?
It is weird, and my understanding is, though, and we were talking about the timing, too, is that apparently it was turned in, the information was turned in before the season, but they just are now getting around to investigating and or releasing something, or maybe he's just now talking about it. I don't know what the deal is there.
And that's the NCAA issue. You know, when I was at LSU, I came in, and then they start investigating the program and then put penalties on us, and it took them a year and a half to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to deal with that, you know. It just goes on and on and on. It's not something that the NCAA comes in and they make a ruling, they make a finding within a six-week period. It'll be another year before they get to the bottom of this, and then it's something Auburn's going to have to deal with, Mississippi State's going to have to deal with, and it can affect you in a lot of negative ways. And, you know, the connection with the football coach there at Mississippi State recruited Cam, I guess, to go to Florida, and then he got there, and Tebow was going to come back and go pro, wasn't going to go pro, so he says, I'm leaving because I want to play, and he goes to junior college, and they assume he's going to Mississippi State, and then all of a sudden he changes gears and goes to Auburn, and you know, I guess there was some bad blood in that situation. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes out. But all of it is unfortunate, you know. And in my experience, if this follows, you know, I guess Newton around, you know, he's got the right or the freedom to say, the heck with this, I'm going to go pro now and not deal with this next year at Auburn. So
here's hoping.
You know, nobody, nobody's a winner in a situation like that, really.
Well, it is ugly, and that's the thing. He's the leading Heisman contender. He's got a team that's on its way potentially to a national championship appearance. It is an ugly deal, and you know, for the league, it's not a good thing. Like you said, it's not good for him. It's not really good for anybody in the big picture.
From what you heard about that, though, do you think a lot of the coaches, the head coaches, and even let's say like Malzahn, who would love to have him back, do they know a lot of what's going on? You think if and true this story is true, that because it went to a church or something like that?
Well, they had to have known. They had to have heard something about it, you would think, right? I mean, even if there's nothing to it, you would think they would at least have said, hey, they're looking into this. It's baloney, but.
Because there are some things, if a booster approaches a kid, that you can't control.
Well, absolutely. The head coach can't know everything that's going on. And that's one of the problems we have in basketball is the middle guy, you know, acting on behalf of the player, supposedly. Now, you know, I guess Cam's father's come out and said, you know, I didn't know anything about it. If this guy that we do know him, but if he's acting on behalf of my son, we don't know anything about it. So you just don't know. And I think somebody must have turned somebody in once they heard about it. And now we're hearing the backlash of something that happened this summer. You see how it carries on and goes on and on and on. Now there's going to be something come from this, and it'll be spring or next summer before something's done about it. And by that time, you have the NFL draft, and, you know, the young man may just not want to deal with it.
And about 5 years from now, they're going to strip the national championship, and nobody's going to care.
Yeah, that was my thing. No, I'm like, better to lose your Heisman before you win it than afterwards like Reggie Bush did. So, you know, that's a little less embarrassing at least. You know, obviously you're not writing $180,000 checks to any kids to come play at Arkansas State. You're not writing any checks at all because that would be against the rules, and I know you're a law-abiding citizen. What is your pitch for Jonesboro for a kid who isn't familiar with the northeastern part of the state?
Well, relative to the league we're in, you know, first of all, you got to identify the young man that you have an opportunity to sign. You know, I'm not dancing in the sky and thinking I can go sign the top 10 player in the country. But certainly we have to be probably more critical in our evaluation of a young man, judging him what he can become, not necessarily what he is. You know, at LSU, we recruit a guy. I knew Glenn Davis started as a freshman of the year in the league, Brandon Bass, freshman of the year in the league, Stromile Swift, all those guys we had there were, you know, we signed them, Tyrus Thomas, you know, those guys were like, bam,
mm-hmm.
right off the bat, good. We may have to develop a player, which we have to see a different angle in recruiting. But, you know, Jonesboro, the town's 65 or 70,000 people. It's a basketball-oriented community. They really like mm-hmm. it. We had almost 3,000 last night in an exhibition game. So, you know, that's pretty good for us.
That's excellent.
Yeah, and so they understand basketball. They appreciate a good team. We've tried hard the first couple of years to earn the fans' respect, to get them to come back and support us, and they're doing that. And our players there are treated well. The people are extremely friendly. We have a great arena to play in. They've done a great job with the maintenance of it. We've just recently developed two practice gyms on the campus that are brand new. Mm. We've got a brand new locker room, brand new weight room, brand new film room. We've redone the coaches' offices. So we've got a lot of positive things that can entice a young man to come there. Plus, you know, I like our coaching staff. You know, Isaac Brown, who is at Arkansas, is there with us now, and he's outstanding. And then Richard Williams coached at Mississippi State for 12 years.
Yeah, that's a –
Took a team to the Final Four in 96, and not that it's a – It not bragging, but it is a fact, Arkansas State is the only team in the country that has two Final Four coaches on its bench. So a guy can get some good teaching and instruction and benefit from that. So
right. How did that happen with getting him on staff? Because that's big time.
Well, he and I are friends. I worked for him at Mississippi State for 4 years, and then when he quit coaching, he kind of went to UAB as a part-time coach for a year, and then he was a consulting thing at Louisiana Tech. He coached the Mississippi Hound Dogs, a pro mm-hmm. team that was down there in outside of Memphis a little bit. Continental League or something. I don't know what it was, but he's done some things like that. And when I had an assistant coach leave, really when school started, I called Richard and see if he wanted to do this. And he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So he's been a great addition to our team and the community, and certainly what he will do is enhance our program in every way, and our players will benefit from his, you know, his expertise and his experience.
Coach's in town for a speaking engagement, I guess, at the Hilton right on University today
right.
at noon?
Yeah, I guess Jeff Hankins is a yeah. guy in town here that you guys know that's put together an opportunity for me to come up here and visit some ASU people. And
just Mr. Arkansas State.
Yeah, that one,
oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
that are interested
yeah.
in the program
that's
and touch some people I don't normally get to see. And
yeah.
and we're off today, so you guys were kind enough to let me be up here on your show, and I'm going to run over there. And another thing is my wife, you know, my tennis career is over, but my wife is up here playing in the state tournament.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's playing today at noon and this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Where is she from originally?
She's from New Orleans.
Okay, so it's not that far, really? She can hop on a plane, still stay close to...
Yeah, she just got back, matter of fact. She went home the other day and stayed 4 or 5 days and came. She's got to get that New Orleans juice every now and then, you know, to get reinvigorated or whatever she likes to do. But, you know, she's a New Orleans gal, and Jonesboro was an adjustment for her. But she's got into tennis. We made some great friends there that have been really kind to us and embraced us. And so she's up here playing in the state tournament. I'm going to go watch her play this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Well, it's exciting, certainly, with, you know, again, having you in the state and, you know, of course, the success that UALR has had. And, we kind of keep an eye on it. Sun Belt basketball is probably underrated, you know, from a national perspective. And then with Hot Springs, you know, for the long term now, it looks like having the basketball tournament, that's got to be pretty meaningful for you, too, being able to play in your home state.
Well, it's a good advantage. You know, we played Little Rock last year in the first round, and that was the largest crowd they had there in Hot Springs, and it should be. We brought a lot of people there, and I think the better our team gets, the more following we'll generate that will come there. It's the only venue that can handle both the men and the women. You know, we bought another floor to put in the other venue. It'd seat about 2,500, and then the bigger gym will seat about 6,000. So it's a nice venue for us to play both the men and the women. And you know, I think Hot Springs, it's a big deal to them. They've embraced it, and it helps their economy. And, you know, you have two teams there, you know, playing all the time, and the fans that come in and spend the money, you know, that's what tourist towns like that need, and it's a win-win on both ends for us.
You like the format with all the teams going?
Yeah, you know, the women, the presidents and the ADs want the women to come with us because it helps them draw a crowd too. So, as long as it doesn't interfere, and it goes a little long, possibly.
Sure.
You know, you could do it in 2.5-3 days with the men, but now it goes about 4 with the women. But that's why we're playing simultaneously in 2 arenas at the same venue, and you can pick and choose the teams that you want to go see. So it's worked out pretty good.
Yeah. What about they took away, of course, the on-campus first round and put everybody in the same, you know, the same arena or the same, I guess, venue.
Yeah, the thought process was that the conference tournament is a reward for the players. You know, they didn't take the last couple of teams. They didn't qualify, and I'm not for finding a reason to fire a coach. There's plenty of reasons you can fire a coach without creating one. And so if everybody goes to the tournament, everybody still has a chance, and it's easier to coach your team the last 5 or 6 games of the year. Mm-hmm. If you know you're not going to qualify for the tournament, that's a downer. But if you know you still got a chance to go play in a tournament, you can keep their heads up and keep them going. Like the SEC, they take every team. They just seed them out, and at least you got a chance to go play again.
Coach, speaking of the SEC, I could ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
We have the preseason media polls come out. The, you know, first team is 8 guys. Second team, no, is 9 guys. First team all SEC, mm-hmm. there's 8 guys on it.
Right.
Second team all SEC, there's 9 guys on it. Okay?
Ask him why this bothers him, Coach.
17 guys.
Ask him why this bothers him, Coach.
Well, because when I played
oh, yeah,
late
90s. You burned me for about 35 one night.
There was 5-5, Coach. 5-5.
I couldn't tackle you and stop you.
You know that he hates? He hates that they've expanded the teams out because
17.
He had to work harder to make his first team.
Can you imagine? I could have been walking around putting that everything I signed.
You could have taken it easy and made first team.
First team all SEC, yeah. Me and half the other league. Why do they do that?
I saw that too. I don't know. Maybe they're
half the league.
Me and half the league were first team all SEC.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't do that. I think they just started doing it the last couple of years. I don't know. I don't remember it like that 3 years ago when I was in it.
Get over it.
I know, right?
It's a lot of guys, isn't it?
Coach, seriously.
You can be average.
Coach, I will say I did enjoy playing.
He is average and made it. What are you talking about?
I did enjoy playing in Baton Rouge. It is the brightest. When they put those TV lights on,
yeah. It's
something about it. I don't know if the court is shinier than a lot of other courts, but it is the brightest atmosphere you can be in. It was a good time.
The shine of Pistol Pete, my friend.
Shine of Pistol.
It still continues today. Did you ever see Pete play?
Oh, yeah. I saw him break Oscar Robertson's record in Baton Rouge. I grew up in Macomb, Mississippi, about an hour and a half from Baton Rouge. And I saw when Pete broke the national scoring record against Ole Miss in Baton Rouge. He had 42 that night.
Can you compare him to anybody that, let's say, we're watching now in college in the last 10 years, 20 years in college basketball?
Not really, and I think the thing that separates him is not his ability to score, it is his ability to pass it. And, you know, I think he was a phenomenal passer and really more the underrated passer because he shot it a lot. But he was a great passer and ball handler. And, you know, in college, he averaged 42 or 44 a game with no three-point line.
Right.
And that's really where he shot a lot of
his balls
from.
Though.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is.
For us to even comprehend, now, did he – obviously, he had the ball 95% of the time.
Right.
Right? And it facilitated through him because, you know, the stories we watch and everything was, you know, his father, coaching at the time,
right.
had everything run through him.
No question.
And so, you know, is that obviously not a strategy that, unless you have a guy like Pistol Pete.
The closest guy that could score it like that, played at Baton Rouge, was Chris Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, and Dale Brown allowed him to do a lot of things.
Well, he averaged about 30 as a freshman.
As a freshman, then Shaq came on board, and his scoring kind of subsided a
little
bit.
Can you imagine having a freshman scoring 30 points a game?
No.
It blows my mind.
Not unless first, it was LeBron, maybe.
Yeah.
Chris Jackson, I think, first SEC game at Florida, he went for 40 as a freshman.
That's silly.
And you're talking about six one?
6'1".
But think about doing that
That's
every game.
That's how good he was.
You know, there was a book that came out a couple of years ago, and I read like 80% of it, and then I put it aside because that's how I can't finish anything for some reason when it comes to books. I looked at all the pictures, though. And then I just finished it, but it was about Pistol Pete. It was a great book. I mean, the guy's life is fascinating. It's a tragic end, obviously, you know. But he was just a neat guy that, you know, he battled some personal demons, too. He's just an interesting story in addition to all the basketball stuff. And, you know, basically spent the majority of his NBA career frustrated. A guy that talented who couldn't quite get the right fit. You know, of course, spent some time with the Seas briefly.
Yeah, yeah, at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's an interesting guy. I don't know how we got on that. But so you keeping up with you keep up with LSU football at all from your days down there?
Yeah, I keep up with it, but yeah. You know.
You like him against Alabama this weekend? You're not rooting for him?
I'm not on the front row cheering all the time.
You like him against Bama this week. How about that?
But the check's still coming.
That's
you know,
good.
So
yes, sir.
So it's not all bad.
Is there a little fleur-de-lis on the check? Is that part of the deal?
No, I don't have that. But
how often do you get back down that way?
Well, my daughter's a junior at LSU. Okay. So I was down there a few weeks ago, actually, and she was here last week. So
what's she studying?
Fashion merchandise.
Oh, boy.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
What's that going to cost me?
How tough is that to have a kid in college? Now, how old was she, I guess, when you were coaching?
Oh, she grew up in Baton Rouge. You know, she.
Is it tough to coach there and have the kids? Because we, you know, Coach Pelfrey has gone through a couple tough seasons,
mm-hmm.
and he's got young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd imagine that when they go to school, you know, they hear things, and that must be difficult, I know, maybe for a wife and a kid to deal with that.
Well, it was okay. I mean, she never complained or said anything or anybody.
But you can never do anything right. I mean, as a coach,
well, you can't. You know, but we had some good years there. We only had one. The last year I was there, we had guys hurt, and that was really the only frustrating season we had. The rest of them, you know, a couple of them, we were on probation, didn't have scholarships, and then we'd have a couple of guys go pro and had to start over again and build it back, but really, outside the last season there, we always had winning seasons and, you know, went to the NCAA six times. I mean, so it wasn't like it was off the chart that we were just bad. So in the final 4 year, you know, was pretty good in 06.
That wasn't bad.
Last year we had four guys hurt, three starters. Taz Mitchell didn't even play that year. And just bad situation. Unfortunate what happened there. But, you know, I'm where I am now for a reason, and I feel like we're making progress. We can do a special thing there, and that's what we're trying to do. And can't look back. You got to look ahead. You know how it is.
I'm sure you had some preconceived notions on the Sun Belt Conference and Jonesboro and everything else. I know you were excited about the opportunity, but just talk about how reality has sort of been compared to maybe some things that you expected, maybe some things that are a little bit better, maybe a little different than what you expected coming in.
Well, the biggest difference in SEC and Sun Belt, certainly the media attention and the crowds, obviously. The second thing is I miss those charter flights. Man, wow. Pull up, have the bus pull up right to the plane, and you get off, you go play, and after the game, you go back to the bus, food's on the plane, you fly home. Those are easy travel. You know, the toughest part about the Sun Belt is the travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fly commercial, you leave on Wednesday, come back on Sunday, you play that Thursday, Saturday swing, and you're on the road, and the commercial flights are, you know, you got to go to the airport and stand around, go through lines. You know, that's something that I would prefer not to do, but that, you know, that's life in the Sun Belt. But really, the other side of it is I'm in a community that seems to appreciate what we're doing, that what I'm trying to do. They've embraced, you know, Misty and I in a big way. Been really kind to us. Administration's been supportive from Dr. Potts to Dean Lee. They've been great to me, and you know, it's good to be in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, they appreciate me being there and what we're trying to do, and they're supporting me in every way that they possibly can. It may not be the way, you know, at LSU could support a guy, but certainly they're doing everything they can to make us as comfortable as possible, and in turn, I'm doing everything I can for them to make that basketball program the best it can be also.
We've become good friends, obviously, over the years with Coach Shields and with our relationship with UALR here at the Buzz, but, you know, getting to know him and getting to talk to him a little bit about the other coaches, it is a fraternity, and that's kind of a cliche, but in the Sun Belt, it seems like the coaches do have a special relationship. I know you talked to Coach over at Middle Tennessee, Kerman over at Middle Tennessee today, and I mean, I know you've got friends around the league. And then, of course, there have been the high-profile guys that are kind of coming, yourself and then Coach Jarvis and Isaiah coming in. So it's been interesting. I mean, it's kind of an interesting collection, but an unbelievably great cast of coaches in this league.
Well, you know, Ronnie Arrett, South Alabama's taken everywhere he's been. He's taken a team in the NCAA tournament. You know, Corpus Christi started the program there, got them in the NCAA tournament. He won a national championship at San Jacinto like three times, and he took South Alabama to the NCAA, you know. Mike Jarvis, you know, he's got a proven track record. He finished second, and on his side, and that team was in the bottom when he took it over. And, you know, Isaiah, his name just brings something to the league, just him being around. And you know, he'll come up here this year, and our fans will certainly buy a few tickets just to see him. You know, it'll be embarrassing when the head coach of the other school is signing autograph in your building. You know, that's not fun.
Everybody else in the Sun Belt gets that too. I'm sure
that'll be an ego killer. You know, our students will be gooing and guying with the other coach. You know, they're supposed to do that with me, but You know, Kermit Davis, excellent coach, and Bob Marlin's a good hire at Lafayette. You know, he took his team to NCAA at Sam Houston, and, you know, Steve's done a great job where he is. Johnny Jones, 20 wins in four of the last five seasons, and Johnny was an assistant at LSU for 14 or 16 years with Dale Brown, and Johnny played there, and I know Johnny really well. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the relationship with the coaches. It's a little different. We go to the conference tournament, the Sun Belt Conference tournament, a week before they have the SEC, not the tournament, but the SEC meetings in Destin. The coaches in the Sun Belt hang out together. They go to dinner together. They have lunch, and they SEC, they don't do that. You fly in, go to your meeting, you fly back home. Nobody, you say, you're nice, but they don't hang out.
Because
you're trying to beat that guy, and the money makes it more, you know, I don't know, competitive or whatever it is. You can't let this guy know anything. But they're friendly. But I think more in this league, we're not only friendly, but we're really good friends, and it makes it a little bit different.
We get to hit up there, Justin, and
we need a
shooting competition.
We need to get up to the game. I don't want to be involved. Although,
but you got to see this guy.
I could outshoot any of your 6'10 guys.
We played in a charity game the other night. Right off the bat, he gets the first shot of the game, 30 feet out. I said, no. It was one of those, no, what are you doing, Justin?
Trying to set the tone early.
Went in?
Yeah, knocked it in. Coach, listen, I grew up in Iowa. There's nothing else to do. I mean, you can either chase after the big girls or you can shoot the rock. I just stood around and shot the rock a lot. That's how I do it. I'm going to let you request a song. I know you're an old – what's your radio background again? I can't remember exactly. Were you a DJ at one point?
No, my brother was. My dad at one time owned, four radio stations back in the day.
In Mississippi?
Yeah.
Give me something. What do you got?
Were they all country or gospel?
They were
Gospel country.
Whatever would sell.
That's good. We're still doing that today. You know, the philosophy has not changed.
Whatever.
And then there's this stuff, which apparently makes you do some dumb things. I was told by a well-known basketball coach earlier today.
This show will make you do dumb things.
That's what he said about the show, no name today.
Back in the day, they couldn't keep those little segments like they do now, and they'll be using that segment on other things.
There's no question.
Yeah, they'll pop it up at the strangest times.
That'll be a welcome back to the show with no name. Then it'll be Coach Brady saying, this show will make you do some dumb things. But I applaud you for not singing because they can rope anybody. Because I'm like going, will you guys quit singing? Will you guys quit singing? Then I'll sit down here and I'll be like, all right, let's sing, fellas. It does. You get roped into it.
Oh, man.
All right, give me a song, Coach.
Okay, Desperado by the Eagles.
All right, fair enough.
Classic.
All right.
Classic
like
man.
Yes, he is. All right. You gonna hang out with us for a while? Or you gotta go.
I may slide on.
All right. Well, listen.
In the break, I want to know what.
We'll get all the dirt in the break.
Yeah, we're gonna. I want to know.
Don't worry, it's off the record.
Yeah.
Coach.
What city that
then,
you
then
hate
you can
the most.
Repeat it and can't. Then you won't be able to reveal your source.
Well, we tape everything. We'll get a mic over here.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know the
we're
gonna
get a satellite show
most.
One day. We could really light it up. Could really be good.
Are y'all gonna sing like those other guys?
Nope.
Okay.
No, we sing well, Coach. We don't sing like those other guys.
Coach
Brady, appreciate you. Good luck.
Thank you much.
One more exhibition game Monday night against Henderson.
Right.
And then Friday?
At Ole Miss.
All right.
Oh, so Wichita and Henderson, huh?
Yeah.
Spreading the love in-state. He ain't afraid to play in-state teams. And then you guys open conference play against South Owl on December 30th at home. So that'll be good. Good luck this season. We'll catch up with you again, though, soon.
Do that. I appreciate it, guys.
Coach,
thank you, sir.
Okay, man.